Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Creative Writing Department here at Car Talk Plaza. You're on, Tommy.
Wait a minute, I was doodling. Remember we discussed Edward Bulwer Lytton many years ago? The writer of those famous lines, "It was a dark and stormy night."
Of course, of course. Everyone knows Edward Bulwer Lytton.
Right. Well, evidently, the San Jose State University English Department sponsors a Bulwer Lytton fiction contest, which, according to this email, says, a whimsical literary competition that challenges entrants to compose the opening sentence to the worst of all possible novels. Someone sent us this email, and we don't know if these were real winners or even if they came from this contest, but we liked them anyway. Here's one. As a scientist, Throckmorton knew that if he were ever to break wind in the echo chamber, he would never hear the end of it. I mean, is that not a winner right there?
That is.
I mean, how can it get any better than that?
Didn't flow as well as it could, but not bad. It did convey the message.
Here's another. I mean, these are brilliant lines. Stanislaus Smedley, a man always on the cutting edge of narcissism, was about to give his body and soul to a back alley sex change surgeon to become the woman he loved. And how about this? I still like the Throckmorton one. The sun oozed over the horizon, shoved aside darkness, crept along the green sward, and with sickly fingers pushed through the castle window, revealing the pillaged princess, hand at throat, crown asunder, gaping in frenzied horror at the sated, sodden amphibian lying beside her, disbelieving the magnitude of the frog's deception and screaming madly, "You lied!" I mean, that's pretty good.
No, that's very good.
But is it as good as, with a curvaceous figure that Venus would have envied, a tanned, unblemished oval face framed with lustrous, thick brown hair, deep azure blue eyes fringed with long black lashes, perfect teeth that vied for competition, and a small, straight nose, Mary Lee had a beauty that defied description. Don't you wish you had written stuff like this? I mean,
read the Throckmorton one again.
As a scientist, Throckmorton knew that if he were ever to break wind in the echo chamber, he would never hear the end of it.
Well, look, if you think those lines are bad, wait till you hear some of our upcoming answers. If you have a problem with your car or anything else and would like to hear some of our fiction, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Liz from Rochester, New York.
Liz with a Z.
That's the one.
Hey, Rochester, New York.
The one, the only.
Now, what are they doing in Rochester now that they don't build carburetors there anymore?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've got stuff going on.
I mean, did you know anyone who worked at the carburetor factory?
No, we just moved here a few years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, we're kind of a relo.
Imagine what it must have been like in the heyday of the carburetor.
Indeed.
Oh, boy.
Man, just a little beehive of activity.
Anyway, Liz, what's...
You guys get out a lot, huh?
Yeah. Not a lot, no.
No, okay. No.
They don't let us out. We've tried to get out. But there are those big fences, you know? What's up?
All right. I've got a Nissan Maxima. It's got 40,000 miles. It's in gorgeous condition. I also have an older home, which my husband and I are re-landscaping in Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
Now, in the front of the house, we have these horrible, ugly, nasty shrubs.
I know the question.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you pull them out with your Maxima?
You're so smart.
Yeah. They're juniper bushes, aren't they?
Use.
No, it's Y-O-U. No, what are you, from Arkansas?
Oh, God.
Oh, there goes Arkansas.
No, use is actually a New York expression.
Use.
Oh, yeah.
Where are use from? Hey. That's a correct sentence, isn't it? Where are yous from?
So
you want to tie a chain around the yous bush and tie it to the axle or the bumper of
not,
the Maxima.
Bumper's a bad idea.
Yeah, I was afraid I'd leave the bumper in the driveway.
Yeah, you could tie it to the rear suspension. What's the size of these things?
How tall?
How tall? Maybe 3 feet, but they're real.
You're crazy. Don't do it.
My sister, our sister had a similar.
See, this is a subject on which we actually have experience.
One Easter Sunday, many, many moons ago.
Okay.
I remember it well.
We were at our sister Lucille's house. And after feeding us and plying us with wine, she says, oh, by the way, before you leave, I want to take out that U that's right in front of the house. We had a Jaguar that we were test driving, and we tried to get it out with that.
We actually tied a rope.
We tied a substantial rope.
Oh, it was like a 4 inches in diameter rope.
Yeah, this is a big rope. We tied around this thing with a hangman's noose, and we tied the other end to the rear suspension of the car. We couldn't budge the thing.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we burned up that transmission.
The thing had been there for 40 years.
And it wasn't as big as yours. It was not 3 feet tall. It might have been 2 feet tall.
Well, that's because she cut it down. It used to be six. She cut it down to two.
Yeah, because those roots, man, they go down. Yeah.
But I think I'd recommend that you engage a landscaper who will tie a chain around it.
Okay.
And then pull it out with his or her truck.
Well, the landscaper will charge us $575 to do it for us.
How many of them are there?
Four or five.
I think your car's too new to risk it.
Okay.
And you really don't want to do it with a rope.
Okay.
Too dangerous. You need a chain.
Okay.
And that's too expensive. The chain's going to cost you $500.
But then you'll have a chain you can always use.
Well, then
the rope, at least you can use to hang yourself later.
I think I'd call the landscaper.
Okay.
Yeah, bite the bullet.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Liz. See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. This is Charles from Frederick, Maryland.
Hi, Charles.
Charles.
Guys, I need some help.
Yeah, well, we're here to help
you.
Yeah,
I've got my wife's car. It's a Plymouth Voyager. It's got 159,000 miles on it, and every once in a while I ask her, you know, how's the car going, because I've learned that she really doesn't pay much attention to it. Well, she came up about 3 weeks ago, said, well, yeah, it does have this strange sound in it that always occurs at the same place at the highway. And so I said, okay. So I got in the car that weekend, and we drove down the highway, and sure enough, we're passing an overlook, and I get about 10 seconds of a kind of a high two-tone metallic squeal.
A two-tone metallic squeal?
Yeah, it's kind of ee-ee. And I said, oh, sounds like the water pump. So we scheduled it into the service.
Just like that, you said, sounds like the water pump.
You know, I've got to say something.
Right, otherwise you sound like a complete moron.
Oh, that noise, hon. Yeah, that sounds like the water pump.
Well, so I scheduled it into the dealer, and we dropped it off, and the dealer called back and said he couldn't find any problem with anything. He said the oil pan was leaking.
Yeah.
Well, he came up and he said maybe there's a camshaft drift. He said some of these engines do that. So I had him fix the oil pan leak, and don't know what to do about this possible of a camshaft drift.
But it only happens at the overlook?
It's about the only time I keep asking my wife, where does it happen? And she said, well, you get this far down the road, and it's right at this overlook, and we're on the interstate. I suspect it's just something, it's traveled maybe 8 miles from the house, and this sound comes on.
Is this a perfectly flat section of the freeway?
It is fairly flat, yes.
Fairly flat.
Mm-hmm. But you're stepping on the gas, and again, it's a two-tone.
Two-tone, it kind of sounds metallic. Yeah, it just lasts for about 8 or 10 seconds, and then goes away.
Doesn't anyone screen these calls?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Come on.
What's likely to go wrong with these cars?
Well,
I think it's more like that kind of a noise?
Kind of noise, right? Is that the noise?
Yeah, it really sounds like a metallic.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that would come to mind is that, I mean, even though we've used this explanation a million times, it's something that happens to modern cars. Quite a bit, is that you have a loose and rattling heat shield, which would make a two- or three-tone metallic noise.
Okay.
That could be rather transient, And I don't know what it is about the scenic overlook, except that maybe if there's a rock on one side, the sound is bouncing off of some kind of natural barrier and making it more audible. Why it happens when you've gotten 8 miles from the house on this particular road and not others, I don't know. I suspect that as the exhaust system heats up, there are certain stresses to take place, and when it gets to some certain point, it is just right for this heat shield to vibrate, and then as it gets warmer, it doesn't vibrate anymore.
Okay.
Maybe there's a rough spot on the pavement that makes the thing vibrate, and
could be.
Okay. But
wow.
I don't think it's camshaft drift.
What is that?
Well, the one of the camshafts, this is a V6 engine this thing has. And,
it can move back and forth.
Moves back and forth, and you actually hear the camshaft moving and whacking against the bearings, the thrust bearing,
okay.
Or you might hear, in fact, one of the cam sprockets hitting the cover. But I don't think you have that.
Okay.
No, so
Well, I mean, it's hard to believe that anything that you have would occur only at this one spot on the planet. On the planet!
Well,
let's keep this in mind here.
I didn't believe my wife either until I did it, and it happened, and she said, there, I told you.
You have to always believe your wife. Always believe them. Because they know.
See you, Charles.
Guys, thank you.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Well, hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Pam.
Hi, Pam. Where are you from?
I'm from Eagle, Colorado.
Eagle, Colorado.
Boy, if you hadn't said Colorado, I would have guessed. I mean, I've never heard Eagle, Colorado before, but you knew that would not be in Connecticut.
No,
there is
not
no
Connecticut.
Eagle, Connecticut,
or Rhode Island. I'm from Eagle, Rhode Island. No, you are not.
So what do you want, Pam?
What do I want? Well, I have a kind of unusual problem with my Eagle Summit.
Oh! No kidding.
No
you
kidding.
You did that, huh?
Yeah, it seemed like the appropriate car to buy.
That's right.
You know, and I got a problem with the car, but I think really I'm looking for some advice here about the male psyche.
Yeah?
Yes.
And I thought of you guys.
We know it well. Very well.
Well, what happened is this, my husband, and he feels really bad about this, and he's less than thrilled about me calling you guys. accidentally backed his truck into my car door on the driver's side. He had pulled my car into the garage and shut the door, but he didn't shut it quite as tight as he should have. And so the door came open. In the meantime, he backed his truck into my car door.
Oh, and ripped the door off.
No, nothing that extreme. But he kind of crinkled it just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, to be honest with you, the car door still shuts. There's some paint chips, but it really doesn't bother me that much, and it's like $1,000 to fix it.
Is it
and,
really?
You know, I mean, we're married. It's insurance policy. I mean, it's one of those things where, well, you know, I didn't yell at you when you ran into my car. So my question is, you know, is this really bad for my car to have this little crinkle in? It's not a big deal.
Well,
I don't
see
it.
Did he hit it? At right angles to the direction of the car, so
you know the car
pushed
door wasn't all the way open. It was probably like a foot open.
And so, did he hit it edgewise?
Well, he backed the back of his truck just right into the car door, as if you were opening it. You know, the side of it there, being open.
The only thing that concerns me is that it might be unsafe. I mean, it's possible that now, even though you say the door closes, it may not be really closing like it should.
Okay.
And if you had an accident, it might pop open. That would be troublesome.
Well, yeah.
I think you have to fix it. Well, what does the male psyche have to do with it?
Oh, well, you know, it's one of those things where I didn't know if it was really unsafe or it was just like this little blemish on my car and he caused it, and so he didn't like really wanted to look at it.
Well, if the estimate is really $1,000, there must be more to it than you're suggesting.
Yeah, I mean it clearly is not just a little dent in the sheet metal.
Yeah.
It's more than that. That's what makes me worry about the safety.
And it's very possible that the latch, even though the door's closing, the latch isn't working exactly right. And if you got into, let's say you got rear-ended, the door could pop open, or if you were to be struck from the other side, the door could fly open and you could be ejected.
Ooh.
Yeah, not
maybe.
Good. Not
I
good.
Mean, if you had your seatbelt on, you wouldn't be ejected. You would just get flung to the side, and your head would drag along the pavement.
Right. So, I mean, all right, enough of the graphic details.
You know, several of my friends would say, and how would we notice there's a difference?
I mean, but the real issue, I mean, it's obvious that you have to get it done. And what the issue, I guess, is what do you do to soothe your husband's ego because he feels terribly guilty about this? And now there's $1,000.
Well,
bucks.
How do you get him to pony up the grand? That's the more important question.
Oh, you know, that's yeah. one of those things. I mean, I would prefer to spend $1,000 going on vacation. But, you know, if I
sure.
have it in my car, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to just do it. And if you think he feels bad, you just send him a little card that says, "Hun, the car is now all fixed.
Well,
and
you know,
owe
the
me
only reason
big
he
time."
Let me, like, call you guys is, "Now you won't make me sound like I did something really stupid, right?" And I'm going, "Of course not. You made
no.
a mistake. And
he made a mistake. It's
no
an accident.
Deal.
No, he
right.
made a mistake."
You know, and these guys on Car Talk, they are so sensitive.
We are. I mean, we're touchy-feely guys.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's what just, I think of every time I
hey, just tell him to pay attention next time.
Yeah, the dumbhead.
Well, you know, accidents happen. And
nope.
He'll be, and actually, he'll like this advice a lot. So
yeah, I think you have to do it.
Okay.
See you, Pam.
Well, thanks.
Thanks
all
for
righty.
Calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, listen, do you happen to remember last week's puzzler?
Last week's puzzler? You know, if you put me on a medieval rack and you stretch my limbs in opposite directions, I don't think I could come up with last week's puzzler.
Oh, really? Can we try it anyway?
No.
Anyway, last week's puzzle was a word puzzler about homophones. You know, words that sound the same. And we'll have all the details and more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned. And even though our kids petition the courts to change their names to something more innocuous like Corleone whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time, free of charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/CarTalk to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
There's no getting around it. The coronavirus pandemic has upended everything. And daily decisions made by the White House and Congress will radically impact the human and economic toll. To keep up with the latest, join us on the NPR Politics Podcast. We'll cut through the noise and let you know what decisions are being made and how they affect you.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course the answer to last week's puzzler. And
yeah,
this was sent in recently by a fellow named Dan O'Leary, who's trying to channel Will Shorts, I guess. Anyway, Dan wrote, "I recently came upon a common one-syllable word. The word
Oh, I remember it.
Nah, see, huh? Do you remember the answer?
No.
I didn't think so. The word has five letters, and it has a unique property. If you remove the first letter, the remaining four letters form a homophone of the original word. That is, a word that sounds exactly the same. So the first letter of this word is apparently unnecessary for pronunciation purposes, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you put that first letter back,
and you take out the second letter,
the result is yet another homophone of the original word. So the second letter is also unnecessary. Interesting language we have, isn't it? And the question is, what's the word?
Well, you know, I remember thinking this was a very interesting puzzler.
Now, I have only one answer, but I'm sure our listeners will going to email us 5,000 other answers.
Impossible.
Well, you know, I mean, Dan only came up with one answer. I only came up with one answer. But I, you know,
give me the first letter.
The first letter is S.
S.
Yeah. This is no time to be thinking about it. You should have been thinking about it all last week.
All right, I give up.
And the second letter is C, and the third letter is E, the fourth is N, and the fifth is T, scent.
Oh!
Right? With the first letter.
Oh, it's good!
And you wind up with the word scent, S-E-N-T.
Scent or scent.
Or C-E-N-T. Pretty good, eh?
Well, I thought S and C were...
We're going to be pivotal?
What the first two letters had to be. But I couldn't think of any words.
Anyway, who's our winner?
Oh, the winner this week is Claude Lowry from Greenwood, Indiana. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Claude is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which he can get our CD chock full of calls about mothers and cars. The collection is called Maternal Combustion, and it's yours, Claude, for being this week's Puzzler winner. Congratulations, buddy.
Good work. Anyway, if you didn't win this week, tough noogies. No, if you didn't win, you'll have another chance in the third half of the show when we do, the new Puzzler. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you have questions about your car or anything else, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Nancy from Seward, Alaska.
Hi, Nancy. From
Hi.
Seward.
Seward.
Yes.
Of Seward's Folly.
Of course.
Oh, we don't think it's a folly.
No, we certainly don't. Nor do we. Because if we didn't have Alaska, where would all the crazy people like you, Nancy, go to live?
How can we help you, Nancy?
Well, I have a Datsun 240Z.
Yeah.
That I keep in storage for the summer. So when we leave Alaska, we go down to Washington. And I'd like to be able to open my garage door and turn the key to this car and have it start. And it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't. Huh?
That has never happened.
Well, the first
huh?
question is, why are you leaving Alaska for that 1 week of summer?
Well, I need to smell some carbon monoxide. And I get so sick of the bushes and the animals that I need to go to the city.
How long have you lived in Alaska?
Well, on and off about 10 years.
10 years. But you do have to get that one little dose of CO.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. So what do you do with the Datsun? You just drive it into the garage and close the door?
Well, we've tried several things, but basically that's what we did last summer.
You figured, what the hell, it isn't going to start anyway. We might as well not do anything.
Why bother?
What had you done that was unsuccessful?
Well, we have taken the battery out and set it on some wooden slats. We've taken the cable things off and just let the battery stay in the car.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, what makes me mad is my husband stores his motorcycle, and he can come home in the summer and turn the key, and the darn motorcycle starts, but my pretty little pet won't do it.
When you say it doesn't start, it doesn't crank? The battery is dead?
Yes.
Ah.
Have you considered taking the battery into the house? It might not be any warmer in the house than it is in the...
No, the house is warm.
You mean when you have taken the battery out of the car or even disconnected the cables,
uh-huh.
when you go in there and reattach the battery cables
mm-hmm.
and turn the key,
yes.
what happens?
Nothing.
Well, it might go... Well, sometimes it's gone that, but not... It won't
but harder.
Start. One time I think it made a sound.
Well, it's a very simple solution. I mean, for either the battery is old and it won't hold a charge over a 3 or 4 month, how long? Well, more than
nine.
That.
Nine.
11
months.
9 months, yeah.
9 months, 10 months, 11 months. It won't hold a charge. And most batteries won't, in fact. While your husband's motorcycle starts up, he probably
he's got a Kickstarter.
He may have a Kickstarter. He's starting with the magneto.
No, he doesn't. I know more than that. He does not.
All right. Well, his battery may be in better shape, so I don't know how old this battery is on this 240Z.
Well, it's 2 years old.
Well, it might be no good. But if you have it tested and they tell you it's all good,
mm-hmm.
you may want to buy yourself a trickle charger.
Yeah.
A trickle charger?
Yeah, a little battery charger. They're relatively cheap. And a couple of days before you're going to try to fire this thing up, you take the battery into the house, you hook up the charger to it, and you let it charge until it is fully charged, and you put that thing in, and that baby will fire right up.
Absolutely.
Well, that sounds good, but how about if I leave the trickle charger hooked up to the battery all winter?
You can actually do that.
Well, I think it would be an unnecessary waste of electricity to charge it up all winter long when you're not using, when you have no intention of using it.
Yeah.
Do you have electricity in the garage?
Yes.
Oh, then 2 days before you're going to drive it, bring out the charger, hook it up, plug it in, and everything will be dandy.
Yeah, and if nothing else, I mean, if that's the problem, the simplest thing to do is go out and buy a brand new battery. Well, I mean, it's only $50 a year, right?
Right.
Think of it as 50. Throw the damn battery away. And a week before you're planning to
go. That would not be politically correct, environmentally conscientious,
No,
et cetera,
no, she's going to take the old battery and drive it down and leave it in Washington.
No.
Well, I don't think they'll let me bring a new battery on the airplane as checked baggage.
No, probably not. And remember, when the car does start, don't be so gleeful that you drive away with the charger still hooked up. Remember to unhook it before you drive away.
Nancy, have a wonderful summer, whenever
so much,
it may
gentlemen.
Be. Thanks a lot.
Take bye care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Stu calling from Oakland.
Stu! Oakland. That's S-T-E-W?
I'm an S-T-U.
Oh, okay.
I'm not the soupy stuff.
From Oakland. What's happening?
Well, I've got an 86 Camry with 129,000 miles on it. When I'm driving, there's something wrong with the right tire. Or there's something wrong with something in that zone because it feels like the tire's going to kind of fall off maybe, so I'm kind of driving and kind of praying at the exact same time. So basically when you're speeding up, it kind of goes whack, 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 whack. And then when you're slowing down, again, it goes whack, 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 whack. And you can kind of feel it tapping in like the accelerator.
Oh. Well, have you focused on the tire because this is a... like rubber sounding sound?
No, it actually sounds...
Or is it metallic?
It's a metallic duck sound.
Metallic duck sound.
So I brought it in to this place, and they said, replace the control arms.
Oh, that's bogus.
Okay, well, we have the control arms replaced, but now it sounds really bad.
The control arms was an extremely bad idea.
Whatever is making the noise has got to be something that's turning.
Rotational. Those control arms are just sitting there.
Yeah, so it's got to be a tire.
Okay.
It's got to be a brake.
Brake.
Like a
disc.
Like a stuck caliper or a warp disc or a bad wheel bearing.
Okay.
So it's
got to
be one of those things. And I'm voting for a bad tire.
A bad tire.
Yeah.
It just doesn't sound rubbery.
Well, you know, it's a steel-belted tire.
Okay.
No, but what you're getting is if you have what's called tread separation, you're getting this noise of the rubber squealing against the road. In other words, if the rubber was squirming against the asphalt, you'd get this... It would almost sound like a...
Gee, I don't believe
duck?
It.
A duck.
Nah. Nah, I can't go with it. I can't. Yeah, I love you and you're my brother and all of that.
But it's bogus. Really? Jeez.
No, it's not a tire. It's not a tire.
Okay.
Okay, here's an experiment you can do if you're the scientific type.
I am slightly scientific.
No, okay. Forget it then. Okay. You can swap two of the tires. Put the right front tire on the left rear.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, you might have to... You've taken this to a place, and they didn't figure it out. So you can take it back to them and ask them to do this for you for free.
Yeah.
Because you can tell them that you're going to figure it out.
Because they beat you on the control arm.
Okay.
Yeah, tell them you had a rotational noise, and they sold you a part that doesn't rotate.
Okay.
So they were clearly wrong, and at least swap the tires. And I'm guessing that nothing's going to change.
All right.
Well, if that's the case, then my second guess is that you have a warped disc rotor. And I'll ask you a very important question. Have you noticed?
Yeah. Okay.
First of all, have you had the courage to drive it at high speed?
I do drive it at high speeds, but I have very shallow breathing while I'm doing that.
Have you noticed that if you step on the brake at high speed, there's a vicious pulsation in the pedal?
I feel it. I definitely feel it in the pedal. And it usually takes like a minute for this problem to start every time I'm driving.
That can happen, yeah. It takes a while before the warp really... you know, moves the caliper enough to make the noise.
You mean until you get to warp speed?
There you go. That's what that means.
That's what that means.
Well, it could. So I'm going for a warped disc rotor,
okay.
And that would make the noise, and it would also explain why your brake pedal pulses when you step on the brake at high speed.
Let me just ask you one more question.
Sure.
Have you ever noticed any change in the noise as you turn from left to right versus going straight ahead?
Yes, when I'm making, yeah, there is definitely a change. And sometimes when it turns, it sounds really bad.
It's probably a wheel bearing.
Here's
what you need. You need a new right front tire. You need a wheel bearing in the right front.
Okay.
And you need brakes.
And you need a new phone number to call.
Good luck, Stu. But I think it's a warped disc, but it could be a bearing.
It could be a bearing, in which case you should get it fixed and don't drive at high speed until you get it fixed.
Okay, can I drive at high speed to the place today?
No.
I will drive at low speed.
Drive at low
today.
Speed because if a bearing seizes, means it stops turning, it means the wheel's going to stop turning. And think of one wheel stop turning while you were doing 60 miles an hour.
But you'll be in the 10 o'clock news.
You know what? I've already been there, so I think we'll avoid it.
All right, see you, Stu.
I would avoid it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah from New Haven, Connecticut.
New Haven. Home of Yale University.
Where I'm a graduate student.
Oh, really?
In what school?
I go to the Divinity School and I study ethics.
No kidding.
Well,
really?
You've called the right guys.
Why don't they teach ethics like in the law school?
Oh, I wonder if they do.
Or in the School of Management.
They don't there.
Or in the department. Never mind. So, what's up?
Well, I have a 1996 Dodge Caravan lent to me by my parents.
Oh, I was going to ask you, why do you have
that? Yes.
Why would a grad student have a caravan? Yeah. Unless it was free.
Well, because you have kids.
I do not have kids.
She doesn't have kids. She's got a free caravan.
I had the parents who had the kids. I'm the kid who received the caravan because they didn't like it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's been entrusted to me, and the air conditioner block seized and stopped working about 6 months ago. So it was hot one day, and I put the windows down, and someone needed a jump start. So the windows were down.
I can tell this is going to be an incredible story.
No, it's not that incredible.
The fact that you had to mention that the windows were down when you jump-started a car means something very interesting is about to happen.
So, jump-started the other car. The other car went off to do whatever it needed to do.
You know, unless they never hang around to make sure your car is all right. Hey, thanks
very much. Wait, the jumper cables are still attached. Come back.
Oh, yeah, because you'd have to return the favor.
Yeah.
If you hung around.
Yeah.
If something were wrong with the Good Samaritan's car, then, you'd have to be...
Oh, my car stalled. What do I do now?
Oh, you're tough. I'm all set. See you later. So anyway, go ahead.
So I jumped out of the car. The other car goes off. I get back in my car. The passenger side window goes right up. The driver's side window goes up about a quarter of the way, and then it stops. And then it creeps very slowly for another inch or so, and then it stops again.
So now it's halfway up.
It's halfway up, and I yanked it up the rest of the way.
Oh.
Now, but I don't want to tell my dad about this. If I can sort of shock it back, like, if I jump another car, will it start working again?
Okay.
So now, the other window, however, works perfectly okay.
The other window works perfectly well. And the window goes about 3 or 4 inches. It makes a horrible clunk sound.
Yeah, duh.
Reminding me that it's broken.
So where's the ethical part of all this? You want to lie to your father.
Right. Well, if I tell my dad.
Yeah.
He'll freak out. And then he'll be like, bro, now I have to get you another car. And he'll try and get me a Chevy Cavalier, which he can't afford.
To punish you, right?
And I don't want.
Yeah. Okay. So the first question is, did the fact that you jump-started somebody's car cause or have some effect on the window?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, what's wrong is that the mechanism inside the door that raises... I mean, it's going to break sooner or later. This car must have 109,000 miles on it.
110.
Because your parents drove the thing to Alaska a few times. So it's, after you put that window up and down a million times, it's bound to break. And it just happened to break that day. So you're trying to connect the two things.
Right.
Take it to a repair shop.
Take it to a repair shop.
And they're going to replace the window regulator. In fact, I think what's in there is a plastic, looks like a tape. It's a gear that's basically a band of plastic.
So it's very simple.
It's rather simple. Sure.
Don't tell your father a thing.
I don't have to tell my father?
It's not ethical to not tell her father.
Does he listen to the show?
Yes.
You're done for.
Well, he just found out, yeah.
You didn't use your real name, did you?
Yes.
Oh, that was a mistake.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
But don't forget, I mean, things break.
Okay.
Why do you have this guilt? You have female guilt syndrome?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, women always blame themselves for everything.
Yeah, get over it.
Get over it. Things break and people fix them.
People fix them.
Yeah, sure. And always blame someone else.
I can't fix it myself, like with some twine and
no,
a
no, you
clip.
Can't.
All right.
See you, Sarah.
I'll go get it fixed. Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
All right, it's time to take a break because I need a minute to fact check the new puzzler.
Fact check? Since when are there any facts in your puzzlers to check anyway?
All right, fabrication check.
Good.
We'll be back in a minute.
When the wheels are rolling, he's alive, doing 94 in a 55 with a burning engine. He would go down the Gladewater Highway, race car Joe.
And even though bagpipers wonder what that grating noise is every time they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Walton Family Foundation, where opportunity takes root. More information is available at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
If you're spending more time at home, NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour is here to help. From family-friendly favorites to stream to recommendations that will calm your nerves, we've got ideas. What to watch, what to read, what to listen to. For both old favorites and new arrivals, Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Listen and share with your friends.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. And this was submitted many times, I think, by a guy named Chuck Lederer from cyberspace. And every time...
Many times, huh?
He changes it every time. Tries to improve it.
Ah.
He gets the award for persistence. And I have to use it because...
Of course.
You know, you always should acknowledge persistent people.
You should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this the third iteration, fourth iteration?
I don't know what it is. This is from 1970. This might be one of the first ones. And here it is.
Yeah.
Sergeant O'Malley and his rookie assistant, Ned, are on duty one Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. And they're just pulling out of the local, you know,
donut shop,
as you might imagine. And they get a call on the radio that says that the town north of them has had a bank robbery. And the suspects are proceeding south, high-speed chase. It's been going on for 40 minutes. And they should be on the lookout, even though the officers, the state police, don't have a plate number. They do know it's a yellow Mustang, and they've been in hot pursuit, but they lost them. But they're heading right to Centerville, where O'Malley and Ned work.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Whoa. I love it already.
So they should be on the lookout for a yellow Mustang with two men in the front seat, and a woman in the back seat. Mm-hmm. So as they're pulling out of the donut shop, they happen to see that very car. And Sergeant O'Malley, pretty savvy guy, says, "That's the car, Ned. We're going to go after it."
Who's driving?
Well,
the Sarge or the Ned?
Ned's driving because he's the flunky.
Yeah.
And Sergeant O'Malley's sitting there drinking his coffee and spilling stuff on his uniform. Right?
Yeah.
He says, "Ned, flip on the siren and let's get him." Ned, who's been studying the back of the car, says,
"It's
I don't
not them.
Think so, Sarge. It's not them." And the sergeant says, "Of course it is. It's a yellow Mustang. It's got three people and two guys and a woman." He explains to him his theory. And O'Malley says, Oh, I guess you're right. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the derailleur of a Fetsari Forte CR5 road bike with monocoque carbon frame, fork, handlebars, and seat post. Shimano Dura-Ace derailleur, FSA K-Force Mega XO two-piece carbon crankset, 20 speed shifters, carbon titanium saddle, and, of course, a pair of extra-large bike shorts with extra padding. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But car questions can be answered right now if you call 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Nancy from Asheville, North Carolina.
Hi, Nancy.
Nancy, how are you?
I'm just fine, thank you.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
So what can we do for you, Nancy?
Well, I have a 16-year-old son, but he's not the problem. He's a great kid. And I always told him when he got to be 16, if he continued to keep his grades up and he was responsible and all that sort of stuff, I'd get him his own car because I don't want him sharing mine. Uh-huh. I need it. Well, the problem is he has been a great kid, and, you know, he really deserves a car. But...
And you never thought he'd get to be 16, and now you have to buy him a car, you big mouth.
Right. You know, it seemed a long way away a couple of years
ago. Yeah.
But... he has had his heart set for the last couple of years on an old muscle car. That's what he wants, like a Camaro or a Firebird or maybe a GTO or a Chevelle. And my problem is, my question is, would I be a totally irresponsible parent to get him something like that?
Any parent who is nuts enough to let his kid drive a Camaro or a Firebird ought to be incarcerated.
Right.
Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
What does Louis drive?
A Firebird.
Oh.
Well, I certainly...
But he's not 16.
I wouldn't let any 16-year-old drive any muscle car.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he needs a nice first-generation Rambler.
George Aspen.
Well, I was hoping a Volvo, but he won't go for that.
No.
He doesn't ask for much.
That may be asking a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, if we could solve this problem, we'd become famous, I think. I mean, we've had this problem, this question asked of us many, many times, and our answer has always been a big, ugly car. Mostly for the protection of the teenage kid. On the other hand, it might not be that the teenage kid needs the protection as badly as everyone around him. So, it's really... We should give some serious thought to it.
Yeah. Is there really a big, ugly car that would protect him that would have some degree of coolness factor?
Well, see, I happen to have a 16-year-old son, too.
Uh-huh.
And he actually... I mean, first of all, the only car that we have that actually runs in the family is my wife's MPV, Mazda MPV, which is a, what do you call those things?
Sport utility minivan.
It's a minivan, you call it. That's what you call them. Yeah. Minivans.
Boring.
And he wouldn't be caught dead driving around in a minivan.
Right.
So his only fallback position is my 1963 Dodge Dart.
Yeah.
Which he poo-pooed a few years ago, but now that he's actually 16 and learning to drive, the Dart is looking more and more interesting to him.
My son would love it.
Because it's funky.
Yeah.
Because it's funky. I think what kids want is they got to be cool more than anything. What's nice about the Dart, and I'm going to allow him to drive the Dart, because first of all, it's heavy. Secondly, it won't go very fast.
Or far.
And it won't go very far, and it uses a lot of gas.
And you can't drive it in the rain.
Can't drive it in bad weather.
Oh, that's rather limiting.
So you might want to go for old. Old might be good.
Uh-huh.
See, I'm opposed to cars like Camaros and Firebirds, not just for, especially for 16-year-olds, but in general. I mean, those are cars which demand that you drive them fast.
Yeah.
You have to avoid speed at all costs.
No, I think as we've mentioned many times in the show before, over the last 16 years, you've had an opportunity to instill wisdom into this boy.
Yeah, he's a pretty reliable kid.
If you haven't done it now, you're not about to do it by determining what kind of car he drives.
Right.
Let him buy any damn car he wants. If he wants a Firebird, give him a Firebird. All you can do is trust that you've done a good enough job that he won't kill himself behind the wheel.
And it's too late now, in your theory, to do anything about it.
Too late. If you have taught him to be judicious, he will drive the Firebird judiciously.
Well,
if he's going to be a wacko, then it's too late. He's going to kill himself driving a Rambler.
I mean, I can say that when I was 16 years old, I agreed completely with that theory. Now that it's my son who's 16 years old, I think that theory is complete hogwash.
Well, this is it. I mean, you know, I spent 16 years of my life bringing him to this point.
Exactly.
And I don't want to lose him.
No, if he goes out and kills himself, you'll kill him.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I think you got to get the car that's going to be safe for him, and it's up to him to make it cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How about a Dodge Colt Vista?
There you go.
I mean, according to my brother, the Dodge Colt Vista is the everyman mobile.
It's the perfect car.
It's the perfect car.
You can do everything. You can camp with this car. You can haul manure. Take seven people to the drive-in all the same day.
Oh, boy, Nancy. This is tough.
Yeah.
Now, we're gonna give you some wisdom here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I need that.
I was counting on my brother to share some wisdom with you. I would get him something with an airbag. If he's going to drive 150 miles an hour,
yeah,
make sure he wears his damn seatbelt.
Oh, he does.
And make sure he has
that's been bred into him.
Good. And make sure he has a car with an airbag that works.
Yeah.
And make sure that he doesn't kill anybody else either.
Yeah.
So I think you've done a good job, Nancy. I can tell that you've invested 16 years into this young man, and tell him that we'll personally come down there and give him a dope slap if he doesn't drive sensibly.
I'll tell him that.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Kirk, and I'm calling from Davie, Florida.
You're not Captain Kirk, are you?
Well, to some.
You're from where?
Davie, Florida.
Davie, where's that?
Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Lauderdale.
Yeah, it's just like this little island of cowboys. And
little island paradise.
Yeah,
is
actually,
that right? Do you work for a living or do you just like hang out?
Well, I try to at least create the illusion of having a visible means of support.
What, are you on a papaya plantation?
You know, I've often wondered if... I don't understand how people can work when the weather is always nice. I mean...
It's hard.
If I lived in Honolulu, how could you say, we're going to go do a couple of brain surgeries this morning? I mean, how could you take anything seriously?
It's difficult. And like today, I'm really worried the suntan police are going to come inside and give me a ticket.
So what's up, Kirk?
Well, actually, this is an act of desperation. I have an 88 Dodge Daytona, which I've had taken in for a couple of alignments frequently. It seems like I can't seem to hold an alignment more than about 3 days.
Hmm.
I wonder if these guys even test drive the cars. So he says, well, you got slashed boots on your...
constant velocity joints.
Yeah, some kind of joint underneath.
CV joints, the slashed boots, right?
Right. So I says, can I get back to you on this? I get in the $19 for the alignment, and we drove off and into the sunset.
Yeah.
And I crawled underneath there, and I'll tell you, I'm still looking for these ribs. But they...
Are you suggesting that this man was not totally honest with you? That he might have somehow... attempted to relieve you of some of your money because it was in the automotive industry?
You know, well, anyone who's coveting my money's in big trouble.
Did you tell him that? And he said, anybody's money's okay by me.
Right.
Okay, so
anyway,
the boots is just a red herring
here. Every time
here.
I get this thing aligned, about 3 days later, it's heading for the canal. I let go of the wheel, and it goes straight off to the uh-huh. right-hand side of the road. It's going straight for the ditch.
Yeah.
And what I'm worried about is I'm going to take it to another guy, and he's going to tell me that I need,
alignment.
You know, I'm going to need not only an alignment, but an $11,000 Duger housing that's going to require
Duger housings are often responsible.
Of the front of the car.
Has the same guy done all two or three of these alignments?
No.
Different place.
Different guys. And each one has the same result.
First question is, are they correctly aligning the vehicle? And the reason I asked if you went to the same place three times is to find out if, in fact, these guys were bozos. But
right.
You may have gone to three different bozos.
Okay, the first two I took to the same guy.
First two to the same guy, and the third one to yet another guy.
The third one to a different bozo.
Yeah.
Okay, who charged you $19?
Right. I think, well, maybe if I pay for the alignment, it'll work.
It generally helps, yeah.
$19
works with me.
$19 is pretty cheap for an alignment to begin with.
Okay.
So you may not be getting a top-notch alignment.
Yeah.
So I would go. I mean,
you think this is like a lost leader sort of deal to get him in? And
well, it might be. I don't know. Maybe like an oil change.
That's an unfair question. How do you know?
The other thing to remember is it's not just an alignment necessarily that can cause the car to pull.
Okay, yeah. Now, this is really the heart of my question.
Yeah.
What else could be doing this?
Well, it could two things. It could be the car itself. Like, for example, if the tire pressures are not absolutely equal on all four wheels.
Or if the tires are no good.
Yeah.
See, you may be...
What was your first clue? $14.
Yeah,
you, you get those free with the $14 oil change.
That would tip you off them in, right.
Now, now, listen, you may be leaving these alignments with what we call, okay, PAE, post-alignment euphoria. And it's, we see it frequently where people have the alignment done, and you want to believe that the alignment is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you and drive
so
on.
You immediately let go of the steering wheel.
No, you don't. You don't.
I want to think that this is all I need, and I can go back with my life, yeah.
Right, right. And then a few days later, you discover it really isn't any better than it was when I went in. So that's my guess. So that's what's really happening. You need to go to yet another bozo.
And bozo number three.
Real money. Leave a trail of $20 bills as you walk into the place. Just tell them you're willing to pay good cash money. I would suggest a Dodge dealer. There may be something wrong. You may have had an accident with this, or someone may have had an accident before you took possession of it. There may be something that's bent, rendering the car unalignable. You may have bad struts. You may have bad tires.
So go to the Dodge dealer, and keep in mind, it's possible that there is nothing wrong with the car, because if you're driving along on a road, the crown of the road, the slant of the road, is enough to make the car pull to the right. So are you sure that you're absolutely on the flat of the road when it's pulling to the
or
right?
Or up on top of the crown.
If you were exactly in the center
saying, yeah.
on the crown, try that test. Try it at night. Get right up there in the center of the road and straddle that center strip and just barrel down the road and see if, in fact, when you let go of the wheel, if it really does still pull, because it may be all in your mind. Because you may have, instead of PAE, you may have PAA, post-alignment anxiety.
Or amnesia.
Or amnesia. And you're just so involved with the alignment.
I have to take that to my therapist now?
Yeah, you can. It's only $19, though. Don't worry.
Bye-bye.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the East Laredo, fried tomato, baked potato, pasta Alfredo, chocolate tornado, clean your Play-Doh, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our wardrobe advisor is Luke Howard Fitzhugh. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahmed Ahmed. Our physics graduate student is Laura Vernersha. Our feng shui consultant in Mumbai is Ria Runjit. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to academics in tweed cargo shorts in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Remember this, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 2017, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our migraine-inducing clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, what to do with your old heap when you buy a new car.
You could crush it just for the emotional satisfaction that revenge brings on, but why not rise above that and donate it to benefit your favorite public radio station?
It's extremely easy with the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
Details are on the website at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though tattoo parlors report a steep drop in sales of I Heart NPR tattoos, whenever we say it, this is NPR.